see y'all here tonight. We're so thankful to be able to have an opportunity to be in the house of God. Don't forget the widower's meal. There's a sign-up sheet there, but Jim's mentioned it. Or if you've lost someone here recently, just a time to get to know each other where we're at in the situation where we're at. So you're able and available. It's a free home-cooked meal, a time of fellowship, and a time of encouraging one another. The Bible says something to this sort, wherefore you have been comforted, comfort one another. So that's what it's about. We're going to make a difference in the lives of people. We're going to have to be engaged with people, not withdrawn. We've got to be engaged with people if we're going to make a difference so that our influence can be expanded. I tell you, one thing that I enjoy that we're missing a lot of is I really enjoy just talking with our seniors on one-on-one, not in a group. I like one-on-one. So much wisdom, so much knowledge. Brother Harry, 90-something years old, it's obvious he will not be with us much longer. Either he will get to the point where he can't get up and get here, or the Lord just take him home. But there's a lot of wisdom there. And I enjoy spending time with our seniors. There's a lot of understanding. And I think our young kids are missing out. I think life has got us so busy that we don't take that time to spend with our seniors and elders. That's why we need to slow down and be still a little bit and get to know each other. Sister Cindy is looking for some stories, anecdotes, and tidbits about the past history of Lock Haven. If you have any notes preserved in, from the past, something funny or something that's important to you, that unless you let it out, it may not be kept in writing, it will just pass on with you. So if you have anything, and if you have a date or year range that you can put with it, just write a simple little note and get it to Miss Cindy Yarborough. She'd like to kind of keep a chronological record of things that not everybody knows, things of that nature. So help her with that. For church, I was teasing with Sister Nelson, but I think I've got Brother Greg talked into it. He said he'll give $100 to anybody who can name all these flags here. Can't Google. $250 if you can name the small ones, he said. No takers?
That's Canada.
Who is this one here? That's Colombia.
Is that Mexico?
No.
That's Greece.
Mexico. Denmark.
Is that Italy over there?
The red, white, and green.
There's Germany back there in the corner. Israel is, yeah, right here.
There's Spain.
There's Turkey. There's Japan.
I believe that green one in the middle.
That's Brazil. There's South Africa right back there. South Africa. That's Chile right there, right, with the star. Now, Puerto Rico's kind of in the middle, isn't it? Their star's kind of in the middle, right? Puerto Rico's flag, their star's in the middle, of it, right? I think that's Chile. Chile.
Chile.
There's Mexico back there, right back there. There's Honduras up there on that side of the thing. I don't know. Is that Switzerland over there? No, Switzerland's Switzerland's somewhere else. Switzerland. That's Switzerland? Huh?
Sweden.
Blue and yellow. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Flag lesson done with. Good to have y'all tonight. We're going to continue looking at our studies through about missions, biblical missions. We looked at the purpose of missions. It's so that we can fulfill the will of our Heavenly Father, that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And when He states that the grace of God has appeared to all men, that grace sometimes it appears because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we are an epistle open and read above among all men. So sometimes the grace of God that's been shown toward us is exactly what they see. And I hope you live in grace there. So God's will is that the purpose for mission is that we might fulfill the very will of God, that the gospel may go into all the world, and every creature may hear the sounds and the words that Jesus saves. And it's not that we are the one that's doing the saving. It's our responsibility to plant and water. So the purpose is that we might be involved in God's work. And the plan is that He uses us. That we go as individuals, each church, and church members are faithful to spread the gospel to all the world. And they go and share Christ and pass out gospel tracts and hand out New Testaments. And sometimes on a foreign land, and such as the flags we looked at here today, but sometimes just right here in Florida, right here, people need the Lord right outside these doors. And so the plan of missions is that everybody would be involved. Unfortunately, in the area of evangelization and worldwide missions, you only get a handful that really buy into it. And I'm telling you, you're missing out if you're not involved with it some way, shape, form, fashion. You're missing out on true blessings, because there's rejoicing in heaven when one soul comes to repentance. So can you imagine with that rejoicing in heaven amongst the angels? So it eliminates some folks up there. That somehow or another, when you are sharing the seed, and that you're the sower, and you're sowing the seed of the Word of God, and you're watering, you're planting, you are involved in bringing joy to heaven. That's an amazing thought. It really is. And so that's the plan of missions, that we'd be all involved. And we have to buy into it. We really do. It has to be, something we see is needful. And I'm here to tell you tonight, dear friend, that it's as needful as the very breaths in your lung right this moment. Because people are dying. It's appointed a man wants to die after this judgment. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wouldn't it be a shame that we could have reached somebody with the gospel and our testimony and shared our salvation experience, or sharing a verse or scripture down the road and make a difference in somebody's heart and life, that they would trust Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, and we never got involved to do it? So the plan is that everybody gets involved. It's not a one person's job or two person's job. It is everybody's job to be involved in missions, and that includes Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And the only way to do that, all of that together, is by going yourself, pray for those that go, and help financially get them to where they're going. Wishing them where they're going ain't getting you too far. Putting something to it, and giving them. Ministering to those that are on their way to go. And now we're going to look tonight at the power of missions. the power of missions. So let's read our text again. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule of abundance, to preach the gospel into the regions beyond you, and not to boast of another man's line of things made ready to our hand, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The power of missions. You know, when you think about the Great Commission, what we find in Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew, where Jesus gathered them up onto the mountain, the disciples, and he said unto them, he said something that's very unique. He said, all power, all authority is given unto me. And he says, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. I'm with you. So that's a very unique thing when he's saying that, when he says all power. Not just a handful, not just a little bit of power, not just a tad bit of power, but he said all power was given unto him. And then he tells us in Acts, the Holy Spirit tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, after that the Holy Ghost come on you, you shall receive power. You're receiving from him. See, the gospel witness is not of us. It's not in our own power. It's not by my strength, but I live according to this flesh and this life, according to Galatians 2:20. I live, matter of fact, let's just read that real quick. If you hold your place there, look over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. The Bible says here, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Wait a minute. All power is given unto him. Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So the life I live in this flesh, I live by the power of Christ. I am what I am by the grace of God and the power that's put on me. So when you understand, you read verses like 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. You're talking about the power of God that spoke the universe into existence. The power of God that formed and shaped man there in the beginning and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now the Holy Spirit of God, dear friend, when we are dead in trespass and sin, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we were quickened. That means with power we were made alive. We were made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We were quickened. We were born again, and that's the power of missions. When you see that old sinner, that drunk, or that whoremonger, that lost person going down to their knees and calling out to Jesus and being created a new creature in Christ Jesus. You see, men, we work at it all backwards. Men, we want to work from the outside in. We want to, even in our social programs, well, we've got to get them out of the slums so that they'll be better people. Where Jesus said, let me in, from within man believeth unto righteousness. And from within, I will create a new creature. We work outward in, and God works inward outward. Because we were dead in trespasses and sin, but we were quickened. We were made alive. And the power of missions is, dear friend, when you see that person that is leading a life of destruction, like the demoniac in the graveyard, cutting himself, biting on himself, falling in the fire, and then all of a sudden he meets Jesus, and he's clothed, seated in his right mind, like the harlot that was brought to Jesus and thrown down before him, and the men around said, let's stone her to death, because that is what the law requires. And Jesus began to stoop and write and stand up, and they disappeared. And Jesus looked at that harlot and said, where is thine accuser? Neither do I. Go and sin no more. Like Zacchaeus, the little guy, climbed up the tree, who had stolen and got all of his wealth through thievery and through vile gain of fraud and stealing from those who lacked to have. And when he met Jesus that day, he was willing to give back. That is the power of missions. So the power of mission, dear friend, is when we share the gospel message of Jesus saves and Jesus turns people around. Well, what's the message? It's from the Word of God, dear friend. The Bible, we looked at it Sunday in 2 Corinthians, says, according to the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is powerful. And it's sharp. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, you've got to share in your mission work. There's got to be that planting and sowing of the seed. And like you said in 2 Corinthians, be instant in season and out of season, that you might give them some ice cream. No, that you might preach the Word. Different. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. So the power of missions, dear friend, is out of our power. I can't change nobody's life. I do a terrible enough job just trying to change myself. But it's presenting Jesus Christ and Christ, the hope of glory, changing people. The Word of God that's preached and sowed, and the faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the working of the Holy Spirit of God through us by using the Word of God that it might accomplish a work in the lives of people. Look with me, if you would, just for a moment, over in Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. I think the reason a lot of us don't get involved with it, because we think we got some part in changing hearts and lives, dear friend. We're just a mouthpiece. If you don't think that's so, you need to read the New Testament, because the Bible says there in the Gospel says that if you would shut your mouth up and quit talking for me, I will make these rocks cry out. And he wasn't talking about a bunch of rock-headed Baptists either. He was talking about real rocks. It's just not that we are a benefit to the gospel message, but as the gospel message has been presented to us and a changed life, that people see a difference made by the power of God in our lives, so they believe our testimony. Who have to believe the report. I'm telling you what, if you went over and took flowers over to Grandma Susie there in that cemetery, and that old demoniac come running after you, tail naked with chains and carried fire around on his, in his hand, and burnt spots all over him. And then 2 months later, you walked in there scared to death, wanting to visit the grandma's grave again. And then all of a sudden, you saw him seated in his right mind, clothed. That would make a difference in your mind and heart. So when people see you changed, that's all this foolishness. I'm born again, but I live the same way that I used to live. It's hogwash. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. There's a whole bunch of lost church members nowadays, dear friend. Ain't nothing different. Nothing different in their life at all. Colossians chapter number 1. Verse number 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27. To whom God would make known, which is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. This is the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. For that's the power of God in there that lives within us. That is there. And so the power of missions, dear friend, is taking the message of Christ, the redeeming Lamb of God, the very Son of God, coming down to this earth, living a sinless life, dying on the cross of Calvary, that He might redeem and atone sinful men. For when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So when that message is presented in a life that has been changed, there's power there. But when the message is presented and there's no changed life, it brings skepticism. Like, what do you have that I need? You know different than me right now. And I'm having a whole lot more fun than you are. There's a difference. There's power in the mission word, dear friend. There's power with God. Whenever God looks down upon your life and you're faithful in that which is least, you'll also be faithful in that much. And so God begins to give you opportunities to be used in His work and to be a representative far more than you could ever expected to be, and an ambassador in places that you never thought you could be. And as God begins to give you those opportunities, it's because your obedient life, and remember what I told you, obedience has to become primary in our life. I don't know why it is we think it's just a secondary thing and then we're going to get to have the blessings of God upon our life. Obedience has to be primary. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's primary. Then we want all the goodies. Listen, we're not working where we really want them. This ain't Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, this candy store. You get to go in and pick and choose and have a little bit here. Dear friend, this is God's work, and God means business. I don't know about you, but souls is business. It's real business. It's been heaven or hell for eternity. That's real stuff there, dear friend. That's your friends, your family, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law. Your co-worker, your boss, your aunt, your worker at the grocery store. That's going to be yours that you pass by day and forgot that they had a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at verse number 16. John chapter 14 and verse number 16. You want to talk about power? If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you ask anything. You know, we get to the point where our asking is so selfish. I want a better job. I need a better education. I need a better house. I need a better car. I need more vacation. I need more time off. I need. When's the last time you asked for a dying soul that's going to spend eternity in hell? We ask amiss that we might consume it all for ourselves. We know it is the very will of God that men, women, boys, and girls be saved. If we know that's His will, why are we not asking? I'll tell you why we're not asking. Because the answer to the message is you. And you And I don't want to be used in sharing Jesus. How in the world can we put on a prayer list and say we're going to pray for somebody's lost loved one and lost friends and families, dear friend? You know, if we're not willing to reach out and talk with them. Well, I'm just a praying. What are we praying for, pray tell? If you know them, share Jesus. Praying for what? That God might want to save them? God's not in election. God's in the whosoever will, and He uses people, dear friend. Well, I just don't know how I'm going to tell them. You got to open up your mouth, dear friend, and just speak. Just take the opportunity, just let it fly out there. I mean, Lord, if God's done something for you, it ought to move you to open your mouth. The power of missions, dear friend, is that people's lives are changed not by you, but by the power of God. That's just the whole mission thing. This whole month's just about shaming us to death. Dear friend, if it's about shaming you, you've missed the whole point. This is about a world that needs Jesus. And we have the answer. We've got to get busy because it's the day is drawing nigh, dear friend, where no man can work. There's coming a time, dear friend, when the Lord's going to blow that trump of God, and we're going to be up out of here, and we're going to look Him in the white of our eye, and He's going to ask us to give an account for what we've done in this body, whether good or bad. Yes, save people, dear friend. Lost people's going to meet down the road at the great white throne of judgment. But you and I are going to meet at the Bema Seat of Christ. With Christ alone shall we give an account. Well, preacher, why did you do this? Because when I get to heaven, I don't want God. I don't want to look the Lord in the face. And He says, now, preacher, you was there 11 years and you never once mentioned that there would be witnesses. Preacher, you're there 11 years. A preacher, 11 years preaching it like it. If He calls us home tonight, And we wake up in heaven, and there we are. And the next thing I know, I'm eating some at the Lamb's Supper Life. And then He calls my number. Okay, so you can go to the Bema Seat. And here I go. I don't know how it's going to work up there. I do know sometime in that 7 year, we're going to go before Jesus and look at Him. And you're going to have to give an account. I know that. I don't know what order, when, time, and all that. I have no idea, but I know that's going to take place. And I'm not going to stand there and say, well, Lord, you know, I know it was in the Bible, go ye into all the world, but they just didn't need that. He said, are you kidding me, son? I preserved it forever in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain. And they didn't need it? This ain't about shame, dear friend. This is about souls. That you know personally. You live half the days ago, you're halfway in, you're halfway out, left foot in, left foot out, right foot in. This ain't the hokey pokey. This is God's Word. You were saved to the uttermost. And it's high time, dear friend, that we get busy with God's Word. The power of missions is that God works through us sharing Christ, and Christ moves in. And people are born again and changed. Marriage is kept together. Homes are kept together. Young men let out of the drunkenness and the alcohol and the drugs. And oh, I know it's just social, but this, dear friend, it's a stumbling block. And they're brought out of that, and God moves into their lives, and maybe, perhaps, because they're trying to clean up and live a godly life and live upright, God says, listen, I want to set you apart to the gospel work, and they become a preacher. And they preach and they go to the mission field and they see soul saves and church planted, dear friend. But God's not going to move a ship that is anchored and tied in the harbor. We've got to get out there in this world and get busy. We've got to get busy. The same God that called Paul to go as a missionary in Barnabas and sent out the church in Antioch is the same God in heaven today. So why ain't he calling nobody today? I'll tell you why. Because our young people are not surrendering. It's because the older are not showing the younger how to walk upright and constant and consistent. We hit, we miss, we hit, we miss. God forgive me. Hit, miss, hit, miss. We're not faithful. You got to be faithful in the least if you want to be faithful in the greatest, in the largest of things. Perhaps that's the problem. You don't want to be used of God, dear friends. What a sad state you're in if that's where you're at. We should fall on our face and find repentance and seek God's face and say, God, use me if nobody in Lock Haven wants to be used. Well, we need revival, preacher. We've got to pray for revival. We've got to have God move in individuals, dear friend, before we have corporate revival. One light shines and another light shines. Oh, I like the cantata and the candlelight service, dear friend. It lights up in here pretty good. And that's just a picture of how it's got to work. The power of missions, dear friend, is God working in us and through us that lives might come to know Him as personal Lord and Savior. We got to get to the point, dear friend, where lifting up Christ is more important than lifting up our own ideas, agendas, and pathways. The purpose of mission, to be in the very center will of God and help God and allow God to use us to fulfill His will. The plan of missions, to use each and every one of you. What kind of selfish God would we have if He only wanted to use Brother Biz? And the rest of us had to sit around and be spectators. What kind of God would that be, Brother Paul? That's the same kind of God that these Calvinists are saying that this one's saved and that one's saved. A selfish kind of God. We don't have a selfish kind of God. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. That same God wants to use each and every one of us. He don't put a monopoly on us. Oh, because the preacher has all the power. He said, all power is given unto me. And in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power if the Holy Ghost comes upon you. If you're born again, dear friend, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So the plan of missions is that you be used. And the power of missions is you dying to self and let Christ live in you. The hope of glory, so these lost people around us can see there is an answer. And it's not religion. Religion has got us to apathy. Religion has got us to lackadaisical service for God. Religion has got us to the point where we just feel like we must show up. Religion, not a relationship with Christ. The Bible says when those two disciples were walking up and down the road and they were lost in tear and anguish and heartache that they couldn't even recognize God. But when He began to muse with them about the Scriptures, listen, something happened inside, a burning, a desire happened. And then all of a sudden they realized it was Jesus. It's the last time you walked and talked with the Lord. Power of missions is God working in you. One more Wednesday, if you can bear with me. We've got a great promise. We stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor, you ain't going to have an invitation after that. I don't know. I've had them on Wednesday nights, time after time after time. Myself comes. Brother Jim, we're not going to have it. Brother Ray. We're not. We're not having no invitation. I'm not even going to play the piano when we close, Brother Ray. If you're not going to use it, why are we going to have it? Church, we are missing the boat on this here. We are missing the boat on seeing souls come to know Jesus, their Savior. We find all kind of things to do to put in front of Christ, and we've got to back out of that. We've got to back out of it. I believe our God wants to do some great things for us, but we're not engaging with people. We're isolating ourselves, and we're getting along by ourselves, and we're feeling like that we are not able to be used. You're not able to be used. It's not because God don't want to use you. It's because you're not usable. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this night of working on and talking about missions. God, we've got to, as a people, as individuals, be like David, purpose in our heart, or Daniel, purpose in our heart, that we're not going to be defiled by the king's meat and drink. We're not going to be bothered and carried off with every whim of the cares of this world, that the things of God are going to be important to us. God, I believe that you want to use Lock Haven Baptist Church in a great and mighty way. And I'm not talking about what you did 60, 70 years ago. I'm talking about right now in 2019, 2020, 2021, until you come again. But God, we as your people, we got to get to the point where you are important to us. And that we love you more than we love this world. God, we ask you to move in a mighty way in our body, in our church family. Because as the pastor of the church, I see we're sinking further and further and further back from the responsibilities of the biblical mission. I thank you for what you've allowed us to do. But God, we've got to move forward. And as the pastor of the church, I ask you to move in the hearts and lives of your people. And let them see the need that's before. Let them have the compassion of Christ in their heart and lives once again for souls. And God, only you can do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.